Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
For now, let's go to the multi-choice Canal Plus story. Mudiwa Gavaza, business writer for Business Day and Financial Mail, joins us. Mudiwa, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through that Canal Plus deal with multi-choice. What happened? What's happening today as we speak?
So where we are now, good evening, is that we find ourselves with Canal Plus having effectively taken control of multi-choice. They're sitting at around 48% equity, but they do expect that in the coming week or two, more of the existing shareholders are going to sell over their shares at the offer price of 125 rand a share. So yesterday they announced that as of Friday, they had now taken effective control, of multi-choice, and now multi-choice is part of a structure called Canal Plus Africa, and that joins Canal Plus's traditional business that has been existing in Africa for some years, as well as a fiber to the home business that operates in about 10 countries in the region.
Mm. Tell us a bit about this company, Canal Plus. Who are they? Why do they want control of what people in South Africa and Southern Africa are watching?
So there's a couple of things that need to be contextualized here. The first one is that Canal Plus itself, they are a French broadcaster. Mm-hmm. They were, essentially part of a conglomerate called Vivendi for a number of years, but they unbundled. And they were unbundled out of that business. And in unbundling, they were now looking at, now you've been unbundled, you have a listing in London. How do you make your mark on the world? How do you compete with some of the biggest players in the world? You need to have a global reach. They've always had a presence in Europe, in parts of Africa and parts of Asia, and now they're looking to firm up their place in all of these different regions. But the big thing that they're looking for is companies that come with large subscriber bases that they can use to add to their existing base. And with this deal, takes them to about 40 million or so customers that they now represent. And now you go out and you compete, with your Amazons, your Disneys, your Comcasts, your Netflixes of this world. So it's all about how much firepower can they actually get, over time.
We saw quite a lot of stop starts in this deal, and I remember that one of the challenges was about how foreign companies come into South Africa and the kind of ownership that there is when you are trying to take over a company. There are certain requirements. You can't just come into South Africa, walk in and do what you want.
Yes, and it was quite a quite a process, because in the beginning, because this deal was first floated earlier last year, that's when they first made that move. And initially, Multitrace itself rejected the initial offer that came in. The initial offer came in at 105 rand a share. And then after that initial rejection, they then revised it, to 125. I would say that was probably one of the first stumbling blocks. And then since then, Multitrace seems to have come around, also understanding that you need scale if you're going to compete globally. And then they now had to address the issue of the foreign ownership. Mm-hmm. According to the Electronic Communications Act, a license holder cannot have over 20% of control, and of control being in foreign hands. So they've come up with a structure specifically for Multi-Choice South Africa. So you'll find that they've created an interesting structure where Canal Plus now controls the group, but they only control when it comes to voting, about 20% of Multichoice Choice South Africa, which is the entity that holds a broadcast license in South Africa. That's how they've been able to work around those issues.
Okay. And what does it mean for someone who has, who is a multi-choice subscriber, someone who's got either the DSTV box or the online channel? Is anything going to change in the short term in how you experience the content that you watch and enjoy?
For now, it doesn't look like we're going to see any changes, you know, from that point of view, at least for the next, I'm trying to see, let's call it 3 to 6 months, because what the team has communicated is that from today, they are in a process of really looking at the organization and seeing what needs to be perhaps married with the existing business, what type of synergies they can, you know, put together. So for now, we don't really anticipate any changes to the big platforms. That's Showmax and that's DSTV. But over time, we do expect that once they've been able to bed down the structure, then we'll likely see a lot more cross-pollination of content between the two platforms that they operate, on the Multichoice side and on the Canal Plus side. Mm-hmm. What they have told us is that over time, at least on the streaming side, they do hope to create almost an all-in-one super app that will house all of their different streaming efforts. Multichoice, on if you consider, already has more than one streaming platform. They've got DSTV now, and then they've got Showmax. And then Canal Plus also has its own, you know, streaming app. So looking at bringing all of these different things onto one specific platform. So as a subscriber, that is the one change that's going to come, but it sounds like that change is only going to come, you know, really down the line. But otherwise, for now, you know, no changes. It will be business as usual as they try to figure themselves out.
You know how I know you've been following the story for a long time is you pronouncing the Canal Plus in the European way, not the rest of us who are saying Canal Plus, now that we're based in South Africa. But talk to me about SuperSport. It's the reason a lot of people have that subscription to DSTV. And when there's a change, there's often a worry about, you know, a property like that and the changes that can come that would be uncomfortable for people to watch. Has that been spoken about?
What they've been able to say, at least for now, is that, to your point, the sports rights were one of the big things that did attract them. You know, to Multichoice as a to Multichoice as a business, so that is you know, that is there. And when you look at what they've been saying, they talk about the entertainment and sports side of things. What was interesting is that when we spoke to management yesterday, they were saying that one of the things that they are not really, you know, looking to have a lot of influence over is things like your news. But your general entertainment, your film production, as well as sport, they definitely are looking to have a hand in that. That's one. Two is this numbers thing that I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. They are really looking at how they can really build that scale. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to, remember I said, with the current combination, they're sitting at about 40 million customers combined. Their goal is to sit between 50 and 100 million customers on the combined group, because one of the things that's been happening in recent years when it comes to sport is that now we're seeing the streaming guys coming up and snapping up some of the sports rights as they come available, right? Netflix has, you know, gone into live programming. They did the football game over Christmas, NFL. They've been broadcasting a lot of boxing matches. We see the likes of Apple getting into baseball and soccer. We see that movement from Amazon as well, which has also been snapping up some of the sports rights. So it's no longer the business as usual that was there a decade ago. So you can see that's what they're gearing up for, is that big global fight. And they feel like they really need to grow and increase their numbers so that they can be able to continue having a super sport that has the rights, that brings people into their various platforms.
Okay. Earlier on, you spoke about the Canal Plus. I'm just going to say Plus. I can't say it. Canal Plus saying that there's not going to be an influence on things like news. Up until December last year, Canal Plus was owned by Vivendi. And their owner, or the person who heads up and runs it, Vincent Bellore, was actually hauled in front of French lawmakers. He's a very conservative billionaire. And, you know, ownership often, either overtly or covertly, determines the direction that things go. And so while I understand that Vivendi no longer owns Canal Plus, there may be a lingering culture or a lingering point of view. Is that a concern when it comes to South Africa? Because a certain kind of culture, if it's pervasive or if it trickles down from the top, doesn't just go away because, okay, no, Vivendi no longer owns this or they've divested. And so is that something that we should be concerned about in South Africa? And I'm saying that in the context of knowing that there have been entities from Europe that have influenced how we speak to each other in South Africa in a negative way. We know that, there was Bell Pottinger issue, and I think there are many more that have come up since. Is that something to think about, or is that very tinfoil hat mentality?
Not a tinfoil hat mentality. Okay. And I say that because across the world, we do see that the control of media is in the hands of these billionaires. And there's been a lot of discussion around that media ownership and that type of thing, especially in the United States, mm-hmm. over the last 2 weeks, especially because of what's happened with Jimmy Kimmel and, you know, all of that. So definitely not tinfoil. We do see it. I mean, the fact that Jeff Bezos is the owner of the Washington Post, you've got Rupert Murdoch and the Fox Empire and the like, you know. So what you're saying is definitely makes sense. For now, at least the indication when the CEO of Canal Plus made his comment yesterday about news, it almost, my reading into that was that they've had enough issues when it comes to licensing and all of that, that they don't want to run into another headache. Right. Mm-hmm. Because news and that type of thing is directly related to the broadcast license. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have a lot of oversight in South Africa. Let's call it ICASA, the Department of Communication and Technology. You've got BCCSA and all of these different bodies that are monitoring and watching that type of thing. There's literally guidelines as to the type of news programming that has to be carried on a platform like DSTV, etc. And at the moment, DSTV doesn't actually run its own, news station per se. Mm-hmm. They've got, Newsroom Africa. They've got ENCA. You've got SABC News, which are all supported by MultiChoice, but not outright. Mm-hmm. So you do have, that element in there. So for at least for now, it sounds like they understand the fact that we've already hit a lot of issues that we had to move heaven and earth on when it came to this foreign ownership issue. We've gotten over this hurdle. For now, we don't want to rattle we don't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. So I think in the short term, I don't think it's something to worry about. However, as they become comfortable and accustomed to operating in mm-hmm. this market, that's when we'll begin to see, how some of that, comes in. At least for now, the things that I've just mentioned, the fact that you've got the regulatory oversight, and then you've also got the fact that the five, rather, local news stations that are on DSTV are run by separate companies. You've got Arena that owns Business Day TV. You've got ABN running CNBC Africa. You've got eMedia running ENCA. You've got SABC with SABC News and Newsroom Africa. That adds another layer, right? Mm-hmm. Where at least for now you hope that those different layers, will limit the influence that Canal Plus has over that type of thing.
Okay. I think a positive that may come out of this is that if they are angling to be a big global player and you have the combination of MultiChoice and Canal Plus, we could see local content doing what something like Queen Sono did when it came out on Netflix. It was the first African production on Netflix, created by Netflix, going out all over the world, being embraced by people around the world. Could we see more of those kind of success stories because of this deal?
Right now, that's actually one of the stated objectives that Canal Plus has actually made. Their CEO, Maxim Saada, has actually used the example of, because you're using Netflix shows, but for the ones that are specifically made by MultiChoice and the MultiChoice stable, he's been touting the likes of Shaka Ilembe as well as Spinners as being two high-quality productions that have come out of South Africa that have already traveled well. Interestingly enough, the show Spinners, which is on Showmax, was actually flighted in France through Canal Plus, through a separate, separate broadcast deal that they had. And it seems that it did very well on their platform, and it was actually a top-rated show and one of the most watched. And so he always uses that example. So that's one of the things that they are hoping to do. Because remember, at the end of the day, Canal Plus is spending 2 billion euros on MultiChoice. They need to make money and they need to monetize this content library that MultiChoice has. MultiChoice has about 80,000 hours worth of local content, and you best believe that Canal Plus will be looking at how do they monetize that and how do they take that to the world. There will be a concerted effort to market some of those local productions to, you know, the international market. If we go back into the world of Netflix for a moment, you spoke about Queen Sono coming out of SA into the rest of the world. The biggest examples are the likes of Money Heist, as well as Squid Game. Money Heist being from Spain, Squid Game being from South Korea, as being shows that did well locally in their own countries but have become these global phenomenons. And that's one of the stated things that Canal Plus wants to do.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. Mudiwa Gavaza, business writer for Business Day and Financial Mail, taking us through that MultiChoice Canal Plus 55 billion rand deal. Really appreciate your time on Kaya Biz this evening.
Thank you so much.
All right. In just a moment, we'll be speaking about chip restrictions with Jan Vermeulen, the editor at My Broadband. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.